Thank you.
It sounds to me like this could be an election of tactical voting as well. Could you just maybe unpack a little more about the Western Cape before we talk about the national scene? Because there are a lot of people today who are very shocked, I'm sure, when they heard Gayton say, it's definitely not going to be a DA victory.
Yes.
And now you've reiterated that.
Yes. Let me start about the tactical voting. And one also needs to understand something. And sometimes you change things and you think you're improving them, but it's to your detriment. Don't tamper with the electoral system when you're about to defeat the ANC. But it's now too late. I know there was a huge impetus and saying we need independence and it's going to be a good thing. I tried to convince people don't go there. Why? The ANC will not amend the system unless it's to their benefit. And yesterday we saw that. When they tried to change the law that has nothing to do with independence and to try to steal in terms of the new formula, it will give them an extra 40 million before the election. But if you look at the electoral system itself, and in this election it's going to be a bit difficult, a bit different as well, because in the past in these elections you had two ballots. Now you're going to have three ballots. Three ballot papers. First of all, Parliament consists of, not Parliament, the National Assembly consists of 400 members. You're going to get the ballot, which I would call ballot one, which you can elect directly 200 members of Parliament. And on that ballot paper will only be the names of political parties. Then you'll get the second ballot, which is also for the National Parliament. And that will also elect 200, the other 200 members of the National Assembly, but on that ballot, you'll find the names of the political parties as well as independents. And let me just say that. All the hoo-ha about independence, not been confirmed yet. But the latest rumor says that after everything we went through, it seems that there may be 16 independents participate. So was it worth it? And I can tell you, let's not go there. When that independent gets there in Parliament and sits at the back, and he proposes, he or she proposes something very interesting, is there a seconder? None. Thank you. Sit. Different place. And then you've got a third ballot, which is strictly directly just for the provincial legislature. In this province, it's the provincial parliament because the Western Cape's got its own constitution. And what we do find is that people sometimes vote tactically. They would say, well, in my province, I prefer to vote for this party or maybe for this independent. I don't know. But on another ballot, I would like to vote for somebody else to go to the national parliament, said. The party that I belong to has been suffering from that for 30 years. If you look at what's happening in the Western Cape, for example, the ACDP, their voters are very loyal. On the provincial ballot, they vote for the ACDP. On the national ballot, they do the same. The people that vote for the Freedom Front Plus vote, half of them vote provincially. Exactly the opposite, double that votes for us on the national level. Why do they do that? Because they are very worried that just maybe we shouldn't take a chance. Just maybe we lose the province to the ANC. Part of my strategy this election would be to say to people, you vote for your choice on all your ballots, but people will tend to make those choices, but no control over there.
So how are you going to recommend? Obviously, you would recommend to them, vote for us on both ballots. But if they're worried that the Freedom Front Plus is not going to be a big enough party in national parliament.
What normally happens is people would more readily vote for us on the national ballot. They see the role that we play in the national parliament. And let me just, as we all know, and it's a truth for everybody and in every field of life. Our father taught us, and that's a reality. Every single man or woman wants, at the right time, at the right place, whether it's in politics or in business, can make a difference. And although we are in Parliament not the biggest, people have noticed that we do make a difference by being there at the right moment, at the right time. And what Gayton said this morning, and I know there's I can predict to you what's going to happen in the election. There's going to be huge attacks on Gayton McKenzie, telling everyone the biggest gangster, and we can discuss all of that. Why does Gayton think I'm not the baddest person that exists? Because he understands and he can see that we respect each other. And you have to do that. That's the way how you deal with other people that's being respected and that you get things done. If it comes to the provincial vote in the Western Cape, for example, it's going to be something that focuses not only on the parties, but on the candidates for premier in the Western Cape. as there will be debates, maybe in Parliament, not in Parliament, maybe on television or in fora, where the Premier candidates will be weighed against each other. So it will be me, it will must be Mr. Alan Windey, I've got lots of respect for Alan, and some other candidates. My appeal would be to say, you can trust the Freedom Front Plus, because I can give you the guarantee today, either Democratic Alliance goes below 50% and they need a coalition partner in the Western Cape, the Freedom Front will step up to the plate. I've got no doubt that we are going to do much better than last election in this province. I can see that in the results. The fact that we are now in 11 coalition governments with the Democratic Alliance is an example of that, specifically in the Western Cape.
So give us your numbers.
On national.
Oh, it's starting in the Western Cape.
Well, in the Western Cape, if you look at the legislature, and that is also an interesting thing that people should understand. The legislatures, the number of representatives in the legislatures can be adapted in terms of the population reality. We've got 9 provinces. In many of those where the ANC governed, they changed the representation in terms of the size of the legislature. I'll give you an example. Mpumalanga, with many more less people than the Western Cape, just now extended the size of the legislature from 30 to 51. The Western Cape legislature, I think, has been at 42, I think, almost since the beginning. And we in the Western Cape has a smaller legislature than Mpumalanga and the other examples as well. I think Gauteng is at 76, KZN, I think, 80, I'm not sure. The reality is that at the moment, the DA governs this province with 24 seats out of 42. If they lose 3 seats, it's 50-50 in the province. If they lose 4, they're a minority. Now, I don't have any doubt that I think they will lose 4 or more than 4 seats. Why? There's a huge onslaught coming from the Patriotic Alliance. And you've got no doubt, you listen to what Gaitan has said, and the message that he brings is so easy in terms of his target market. He said it this morning. He said you were governed by whites, it didn't work out for you. You were governed by blacks, it didn't work out for you. It's time that you do your own thing. And charismatic as he is, if you listen to him this morning, how charismatic don't you think does his constituency relate to the way that he's talking and what he's basically saying? So the Patriotic Alliance is going to be a strong feature in the Western Cape. I'm going to try to balance that. And as I've said, if there's the need, and there will be a need for coalition, we will make sure that the right people remain in government in the Western Cape.
How many seats are you likely, then, by your estimations, to have? If you say you're going to go up.
It's very difficult. If you talk about the Western Cape, because the legislature is small, you're talking about the high percentage to get anywhere. We hope, if we end up with 4 seats, that would be the extreme barrier to keep the Democratic Alliance in a safe position. And we can talk about, the Democratic Alliance and coalitions. I'm not always convinced. I've been, if somebody said to me, it changed, but if somebody said to me a few years ago that me and Ellen Zille would talk almost on a daily basis at some stage, I would not have thought so. But it was necessary at the time. And if I may just say, even in the Moonshot Pact, I would have appreciated that the Moon is dead, the shot everybody in the ass. If the Democratic Alliance could have and would project a more committed approach to the multi-party charter, we would have been much further than we are at the moment. That was necessary. And it was necessary before we closed the registrations, etc. But that's beyond us now. Now we have to work with what we've got. This is the voters' role.
You said you don't believe or trust the polls. So how are you reading what's likely to happen if the election were held today?
It's quite clear that the ANC is in trouble. They are seriously in trouble. I think people make a huge mistake to think that there's a good ANC and a bad ANC. And people put their bets, we want to make a deal with a good ANC. Now tell me, who are the good ANC? Who are they? Settle. Okay, fine. Who else? Who else? The ANC is rotten to the core. If you want to rescue this country, we have to defeat and destroy the ANC. That's what we've got to do. There's no alternative at that stage. But if you look at the poll or at the prediction for the election, don't underestimate the ANC ever. Polls indicate around 40%. I think they will do better than that. maybe in the low 40s, I guess. The Democratic Alliance, I predict, will be around somewhere in the 20s, mid or low 20s. This polls that indicate almost 30%, I don't buy that. Put it differently, I think the multi-party chartered and the parties within the chart are polling around, I would say, 35%. And now you can tell me and say, but that's a long way off to get to 50. I'm not talking about percentages in that respect. What I'm trying to do is the following. The National Assembly consists of 400 members. 14 days after the election, we meet. The Chief Justice will be swearing everybody in. And then we have to elect a speaker. And after we've done so, we need to elect a president. I need 210 votes. Not 201. That's not good enough. We need 210 people on the good side. And then we can elect a speaker, we can elect a president, and the president can appoint his cabinet, and we can start governing. So if the multi-party charter ends with 35%, what about the rest? There are parties that are outside the charter at this stage. And some of the leaders in the charter have been inviting them to join the charter all along. And I have then sent them messages and say, don't do that. Don't come anywhere close to the charter. Why? Those parties need to get the votes of people who will not vote for the current parties within the charter, or not even for them, if at this stage they associate with the parties. And it goes back to what I've said in the beginning. We didn't start on the right footing with the Democratic Alliance taking the initiative without consultation. So there are parties. You listen to Musi Maimane. Don't underestimate Musi and Bosa. They delivered 140,000 to Andrew signatures. Let him do what he needs to do. Lizen Zanzu. Let them do what they need to do and get people elected. After the election, we'll make calculations. I want to get to 210 votes in Parliament. And then there's GATA, Patriotic Alliance. It's a very difficult one. I can assure you, I can give you the exact details of what happened in Johannesburg. I was in the midst of that process. The Patriotic Alliance wanted to cooperate. We had the meetings. They said, we agree with each word in the multi-party charter. We are prepared to sign that. We are prepared to walk away from the ANC. If it work out that way, we can talk to one another why it happened. But the question is, we have to deal after the election with parties that are going to win seats. Seats. And I can assure you that the Patriotic Alliance, they are going to win seats. What are they going to do with those seats? And it was quite clear this morning, and that's not a new position from the Patriotic Alliance. They despise the EFF. And just for what I described the EFF as the ANC youth wing currently dressed in red, because that is what it is. But the Patriotic Alliance, they are going to win seats. So what are we going to do with those seats? Are we going to use them to get to 210? Or are we going, for whatever personal gripes there may be, push them in the hands of the bad guys? I don't know. I hope it's not necessary. So it could be that if a multi-party charter of parties get to 35%, who knows what could happen with regard to the rest? How many will Rising Zanzi bring to the table? How many will Bosa bring to the table? How many will the Patriotic Alliance bring to the table? There may be others as well. Party like the UDM, they may end up with two seats. I can assure you they don't want to be with the ANC. So you never know how things will play out once we see the numbers on the election result board.
We're going to go to the floor in a moment, but are you confident that this is the right time, or like some are saying, this election's come a little soon, maybe 2029.
I don't think we have time until 2029. I would have preferred us to be much further down the road in terms of what the charter should have already achieved. We should have had at this stage a very strong civil society movement like the UDF was in the past. I delivered a speech at the State of the Nation address somewhere last year, and I said, no one can sit back and say, well, this is interesting. I hope you succeed. You can't. Everyone needs to get involved and make this their absolute priority to get us there. Some people say, oh, the challenge is so big, we don't know that we're going to make it, maybe 2029. I'm telling you, this country can't afford another 5 years under ANC misrule and corruption. Is there anyone that thinks that the ANC can change their ways? No. They will get worse. We are dealing with the E team. After this election, it will be the F team. So I don't think we have another 5 years, and I'm not negative if I say we have to do it now or never, because it's true. South Africa will still exist after the day after the election. In 2 years' time, we have 2026 local government elections. What we need to do then is to make sure that we take final, absolute control as coalition partners of these big metros, Durban, Johannesburg, Pretoria, Kibeha. We could have taken Kibeha, but yeah, it was squandered. But we need to do that in 2026 in any case. So if need be, the struggle will continue until we get to that point. But we've got a beautiful opportunity now in 2024, in 76 days from now, the time is now.
Well, that's a lot of hope. Thank you. You've raised my spirits, and I think everybody else in the room at this point. We got questions. 1, 2.
Dr. Mulder, in your opinion, what are the chances of a government of national unity, considering the state the country's in? Is it possible, and would it work?
Yes. Government of national unity is it's a strong possibility. Why? If the ANC, let's look at the scenarios. If the ANC go just below 50%, they will try to form a government with whom I would like to call the rats and mice. Al-Jamaa, you go be a deputy minister. Come on board, whatever. So that's an option. If they go further down, they will need some more stable partner, and the analyst also explained that this morning. A very strong sign or signal that they can send out is a government of national unity, and with all due respect, I think business would just love that. Why? It creates the falsehood impression of we are all now united. We are a government of what? Unity. Why would the ANC go into a government of national unity? Because they have changed their ways. Because they have changed their philosophy in terms of economy, in terms of their friendship with all the rogues in the world, if they do that, they're not going to change. They will do it for one reason only, to stay in power. Nothing else. Nothing else. There was huge expectations. Cyril, if only Cyril could be elected at Nasrec, he will turn the ANC around. Did it happen? The opposite. Nothing happened. Why? The ANC does not have leaders like we think. I'm the leader. I've got a vision. I give leadership and we move. ANC doesn't work that way. All decisions are taken by the collective. And the collective is the Women's League, the trade unions, the Communist Party, COSATU, you can name it. So, government of national unity, yes, it's a possibility. It does have huge challenges for whoever is going to accept that. And I've heard today that the Democratic Alliance is being mooted as a possible government of national unity partner. They will have to calculate the implications of that, because I'm not convinced that all their supporters will be very thrilled or necessarily enthusiastic about that. But it is a possibility. The president could do that and say, we invite everybody into government. It will sound beautiful, but then we get to the policies and the essence of South Africa, which is the economy. How will that government of national unity look at the economy? Will the ANC change its policies? I don't think so.
Are you in any way worried that Zuma or the ANC or whoever have captured the security forces in a way that they will not allow the transfer of power once they lose?
That's a good question, but I have to give one step back. That presumes that there are security forces. Our defense force, I don't know if you're aware of that. In this defense force of South Africa, we've got 400 generals. 400. It's a bit heavy at the top, you know. No. The security forces is not my real concern. But what could happen is what we saw in KZN 2 years ago. That's possible. And in 2 years ago in KZN, that aggression was against businesses, it was against shopping centers, it was against that kind of thing. But don't forget what happened in the massacre, the genocide in Burundi, Rwanda, my apology, up north. I'm not saying that could happen, but it could perhaps happen. You never know. Politics is a wonderful career, and if you don't think in those terms, you should really think about that, because it's a miracle thing. You'll remember that Mr. Zuma was released on parole because he was dying. That's how ill he was. Politics cured him. He's alive and well, and he's out there doing his thing. The politics is a very good thing to take under consideration. Let me share you one thing about Mr. Zuma. And Gaitan mentioned it this morning. He's a very popular and a very charismatic guy. And he's a very astute and strategic operator in politics. I was in parliament the day when Mbeki fired him as deputy president. And where we sat in parliament, he's right next to the senior people in the ANC who are not in the executive. Senior older people of the ANC. When he was fired by Mbeki, some of the ladies started crying here. That's how popular this man was. What did Zuma do? He left. He remained the deputy president of the ANC. He went down to grassroots. He attended every funeral, every function, in the stadiums with the people. That's where he went. At the Polokwane conference, Mr. Mbeki's people came there with all the 4x4s, their supporters. Zuma's people were bussed in, and you know what happened there. About 3 weeks before Polokwane, my brother and I had a meeting with Mr. Zuma alone. And we said to him, it was clear that Mr. Mbeki was going to lose power. And we knew that was going to happen. That's our task, to understand and read politics, that Zuma was going to take over. And we had a 4-hour discussion alone with him to say, explain to us, how does this work? He knew exactly what was going to happen in Polokwane, because the Secretary General of the ANC then was a Motlanthe. Zuma knew exactly the delegates from branch to branch to branch. And then we said to Mr. Zuma, what is going to happen to all those charges against you? Now what he said, it will go away. It will go away. And where we are today is not being found guilty or finally prosecuted. How many years ago was that? So the fact of the matter is Zuma is a problem. But remember another thing. About a month ago, not, this was shorter, 3 weeks ago, the IFP had a press conference in KZN. And they said they are not adverse to the possibility that they may have to work with MK as a political party. You don't know what's going to play out, because there are certain things also in KZN that maybe I won't understand. There's other loyalties there that we have to take charge. And that could also have an impact on a national situation. We don't know. The hatred between MK and the ANC current leadership may be so strong. We sit with a problem after the election to form a coalition, because everybody wants to get on board just to defeat the ANC. Could be done, but could that thing govern? And in terms of what policy will we govern? So that's a huge jump.
Many permutations. David.
I wish to commend you for the valuable role that you play in Parliament, that you bravely fight the good fight, and that you don't lose your temper. My question. I've been a founder member for the ACDP since 1994, and I feel that they and the Freedom Front are very similar in policy and value. Is there a chance you might come together and become a stronger force?
You say that you compliment me for not losing my power, my temper. You are wrong. I lost it on many occasions, but you won't know it. I've also been programmed self-control in terms of not showing it. My brother was better than I with that. Now, with regard to the ACDP has also been an 18 player since 1994. They've been there constantly. They will be there again after this election. They've also proven themselves as a reliable, trustworthy partner in coalitions and in governments where they were involved. We have many things in common. If you look at some of the more moral questions in Parliament, we are always on the same side. There's no doubt about that. But the beauty of a coalition is the following. Every vote counts. We don't all have to be in one party. Let me share this. One day, Ellen said to me, you know, the DA is now, I think, at 25%. It's a frustration. There's a further about 12 to 15% within the other party. Why don't they all just join the deal? I said to Helen, don't you understand anything? The fact that those parties exist is because they will never join the deal. They don't have to join the deal. Because you can vote for the party of your choice, as long as you know that the party that you vote for would be part of the good people, and they will bring their votes into a coalition after the election, and the ACDP will be one of those.
Thank you. If we get 210 seats, what will happen in those 10 days in terms of getting order or transformation? Will you declare not a state of emergency, but a state of disaster, as Nkosi Sazana Dlamini did?
If I could, yes, no. I don't, it will send the absolute wrong message to the international community if we start off with a state of disaster. I can assure you, and that's a completely different topic, after the positioning of the ANC in the Hamas-Israel conflict, I believe the ANC destroyed the last credibility they had in the West and towards the United States. I believe there's huge interest in this election from, let's say, the West and the United States, other countries that share the common values. I think they will be observing this election and would love to get involved and assist a new government in terms of whatever way is possible legally after the election. But then we need to create the atmosphere for them to do so. State of disaster will be the wrong thing to do.
Yeah, on this side, next to Tish.
Thanks. Mr. Jarjan earlier suggested that he doesn't think that ANC plus EFF plus NK will last very long after the election. If the multi-party charter speaks of first wanting to know if CR is part of the ANC afterwards to do a deal with the ANC or not, would you think that it's possible that the ANC can split again? And then in that instance, will the CR part of the ANC, do they need to call themselves the ANC or something else? And will it be easier to do a deal with them then? Thanks.
Thank you. It's too late. You've got a proportional system. The seats go with the party that received them. In other words, if the election comes and we've got the result, and let's say the ANC is at 40%, they will have 40% of the seats in Parliament. And if they've got an internal fight and some leave, they will wave them goodbye and they will fill those seats with other people who support the view of the group that won that fight. You can't change after the election and say, now we split and me and this group of members go there. Because if they do that, they will be expelled by the party. There will be a fight for the name, the franchise. And believe it or not, the ANC franchise is a rather popular one to a certain extent, but maybe everywhere, but somewhere, it's quite popular. So that won't happen. But there's a history in the ANC as well. They recall presidents overnight. I had a very good relationship with President Mbeki. He was very much involved in the negotiations we had inside and outside of PDESA in a different process to avert a civil war. The evening when the ANC recalled him in the NEC, I wrote a letter to him. And I wanted to give the letter to him the next day in Parliament. I never saw him again in Parliament. He was not allowed even to return to Parliament to say goodbye. Don't be surprised if the ANC ends up with 39 or 40% that they recall Cyril immediately and replace him by somebody else, or Mashatile will make a deal with EFF the next day.
What will happen to the MK party once Mr. Zuma has left?
I think what happened to the AWB when Eugene Treblance left. You cannot build a party around the person or the personality or the persona of one person. It doesn't work that way. Because it's a cult. It's not a party. It's not really a cause. What do you stand for? So here are all kinds of gripes between the different groups, and Mr. Zuma wants to avenge himself because he was kicked out and recalled. I may be wrong. At this stage, where are the second line of leadership in MK? Who are they? Where are the popular known people? I may be wrong, But the day when Mr. Blanche, for what it's worth, was no longer there, the AWB basically disappeared. I think the same will happen with Inke.
I'm going to ask, because we've only got a couple of minutes left, just help me out here from seeing your perspective, because we're sitting, we're listening to many politicians, we're getting little tidbits here and there, and it appears to me that the ANC gets 40, 39, 38, that kind of level. Immediately, and we also heard earlier that there's talk that Cyril Ramaphosa wants to go anyway. He was going to go a little while ago in Palapala, but now he really wants to be. That would mean Mashatile takes over. In your opinion, Mashatile will only do a deal with the EFF, or would he look at alternatives?
I believe he will go with the EFF. And that's why, and we didn't touch on that, there was no time. There's something called cordon sanitaire being used in Europe in some country. I believe what should happen in South Africa, and it's now a bit too late, a cordon sanitaire should be drawn around the EFF. Meaning, nobody plays with them. Nobody gives any attention to them, and that the media perhaps should also do. And they are smothered without oxygen because they are a cancer in our political system. Before they went to parliament, they clearly said, we are going to parliament to bring the revolution to parliament. We've seen that. They are there because they've got this wonderful belief. Any revolutionary that you can think of, they've already studied him. And they think it's magic. And they've got this weird perception that if everything collapses, if the country explodes in violence, somehow, out of the ashes, a new thing will arise and we will have Commander-in-Chief Julius Malema. They believe that. My concern is that the way that I know Paul Mashatile, with all due respect, they will try to opt that to stay in power. And as I've said in the beginning, the EFF is the youth league of the ANC currently dressed in red. Don't forget that. What we need to achieve, and that's a huge challenge, and I don't know if it's possible. That's what I've been trying to achieve the last 18 months, to push the ANC and the EFF combined down that they cannot get to 50%. And people have huge expectations of the EFF. If you look at by-election results, it's not going well with them as such. The results in by-elections are not very good, and they are not a happy crowd. You've got to do what the commander says all.
Now, you understand, or you have sources of information far better than mine, but I had some information that it was worse than being not a happy crowd.
Absolutely, no. It's not the party is not a democracy. It's a tyranny. Let me give you an example. Yeah, I spoke to some important people in that party the day before yesterday, and I explained to them the implications of this law that the ANC wants to steal a further 50 million. They understood that. I showed them the demographics or the figures. The EFF will also not be a happy figure there. They've got problems. When we got into the house yesterday, another person from the EFF went to the podium. They support the bill. What does that mean? Somebody spoke to somebody, they changed, and this person who I spoke to got instructions, we no longer oppose. It's a very unhappy situation, what they've got there. I don't think it's going to last. I really think. And the majority of South Africans out there from all communities, black, white, you name them, are good people. What they want for their children and their grandchildren does not differ. They are good people. But there are rogues out there that walk along the tall grass and throw matches and try to set this country alight. The good people needs to prevent that and to stop it.
Bonnie Mulder, thank you for being with us.